The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 466. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. We're going to be talking about movies today, and movies aren't made in a vacuum, as I'm sure many of you know that. That it takes many talented people, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, to make a magical movie happen. Well, today, on this episode, I'm going to speak to a gentleman who has a huge role in any movie production that he is a part of. I'm talking about a Cincinnati-based cinematographer, Jake Reynolds. Jake is going to share some of his experiences on the movie set as a cinematographer. We'll also talk about how he got started in the indie scene in Cincinnati. We'll talk about some of his projects that he has worked on and some future projects as well. And we even talk about technology and equipment and how one keeps up with all of those advances, especially in today's society. So it's going to be a great episode, especially if you're like me and you're a big movie nerd. You want to know all the ins and outs behind the scenes, as well as what happens in front of the camera. But before we get to my conversation with Jake, I need to thank the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. As you hear me say every single time that I'm on the airwaves, World's Greatest Comics is a five-star comic book store. They got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pool system, a friendly staff, a clean store. They got it all. And so, if you are in Central Ohio, you owe it to yourself to jump on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And if you want to check them out online, you can also do that by checking out their website, wgcomics.com. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with cinematographer Jake Reynolds. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I am joined by an individual that is a cinematographer hailing from the great city of Cincinnati. I introduce to you Mr. Jake Reynolds. Jake, how are you this evening?
I am doing just fine, nice and warm in my house right now.
Yeah, here in Ohio, we got a little bit of some cold weather and we got some snow. I don't know, did Cincinnati get a lot of snow or just a few inches?
We got enough to make me worried to go to my gig this morning.
Okay. Yeah, it was a surprise up here too. I don't remember hearing that snow was on its way, but Mother Nature surprised us all.
Yeah, it was not on the itinerary. I don't think it was on the call sheet either. I don't know if Mother Nature got the updated sheet, so I don't think she's gonna make it for the next day.
Okay, well, you know, she is a fickle woman, so. Anyways, let's start off with a question that probably many of my listeners have, and they probably may not be aware of what a cinematographer actually is. Would you mind explaining that that position?
A cinematographer, for somebody who's never really given it much thought, is more or less a person that is the visionary behind the director's vision. it's weird for me to describe it like that, but it's the person that creates what the director wants on screen. And that's my, that's what I love the most about this position and what I do in film is I get to be the one that can create that emotional appeal for the director, for the screenwriter, for the actors, and also for the audience.
Well, how did you become a cinematographer?
Man, that's a fun story. I started in college, not a film major right off the bat. I started in construction management at Northern Kentucky University. And that was what I knew the most because I was a roofer in high school, just knew my little bubble, just going about the motions, hoping to help my uncle out at his roofing business. And then just in the middle of the night, like 2 or 3 in the morning in my dorm room, I woke up with an epiphany of, I don't want to be a roofer for the rest of my life. And I went over to film after that. And this story has a purpose because I started out as a video editor in the industry. And then I started to slowly realize that I wanted to be the one to shoot the things that I was chopping up in the editing bay. Because I just kept on asking, hey, where's the coverage for this take? Hey, where's the coverage? Where's the coverage? Like that, what I was noticing in the field is that I could do exactly what the DPs did, but I could think about it in my own way of making it work for post-production. Where I believe that most DPs are more along the lines of just get it done and move on. My mindset has always been, okay, we need to get more things just so we'll be happy at the end result. So we have more things to go through if need be.
And for those that are unaware, DP is a director of photography, which is kind of a synonym of cinematographer, correct?
It is.
Okay.
It's just more syllables.
Well, I have to commend you and a lot of respect that you were in the roofing industry because I have a lot of respect for folks because I helped a buddy one time roof a house and it was the hardest job I've ever done. And I don't think of myself as a lazy individual, but by the end of the 2 days, I was wrecked, Jake. I was wrecked. And so... Tip of the hat to you, sir, for doing that, because that's a job that I don't think I ever want to ever do again.
Oh, man. One of my last jobs was a metal roof on top of a 3-story consumer house. Oof. That was a fun one. I almost fell through the roof because there was still tar paper underneath the metal roofing, and it wasn't labeled, hey, there's a hole here.
Oh, no.
Like usually, industry standard is, hey, you put an X and a circle around where the hole was situated, right? Mm-hmm. No, there was none of that. It was, oh, yeah, there's something right there. And then maybe an hour later, you forget because your mind's just so much focused on getting the job done because it's already 8 o'clock and it's 100-something degrees on the roof already. And you're like, wee! Where's my left leg? Oh, wait, it's in the house.
Then you have no regrets whatsoever switching majors, obviously.
I do not have any regrets at all. Okay. I am very happy with my decision in college, and I am very happy that it was actually 3 major switches that I did in college. My switch from construction management to film had an intermediary stage when I did media informatics at NKU, which I still can't quite understand what media informatics is. I just keep being told that it's about new technology, but that was my minor just so I could graduate after I switched to film as my major. So I'm still very happy with my decision and I am doing very well because of it.
Let's talk about technology, because I think that's the one thing that when I notice on people's social media, always getting new equipment, always getting new upgrades to things. So two questions on that topic. First, how do you keep up with technology? I assume that there's plenty of review websites, and I'm sure maybe word of mouth help factors into that as well. But how do you keep up with the ever-changing realm of technology and filmmaking?
There's a lot of ways to do that. There's, like you said, social media, and then there's also YouTube, so you can get closer to a hands-on experience with the equipment. And then there's when you're on set and somebody just wants to bring a new piece of tech as a show and tell, and you go, hey, let's use that for another take. Let's see what this can do. And then you go, oh, okay, so that's where we're going. All right. But to keep up with tech now is, I wouldn't want to say a chore, but it's almost a job.
Yeah, I can see that.
Things change not only from business quarter to business quarter, but they change on almost a daily basis.
Well, my next question that kind of springboards off this, how does one afford to keep the newest technology around? Like, I mean... I know budgets are an incredibly important aspect in movie making, no matter if you're Marvel Studios or you're small independent. How is that factored in?
I mean, from an independent filmmaker standpoint, the basic gist is you work with what you're given. Mm-hmm. And in my case, if I could afford to go with not the newest in tech, but something close to it, whether that be on the used department or in the new department, I will go for it. I mean, and the other side of it too is sometimes the older tech, quote unquote, is still viable to this day because it has a different look than what most people are using today. Come to find out that pretty much 90% of the sensors that are in cameras currently are from Sony.
Okay. So no matter the label of the camera or the equipment, it's still a Sony product.
It will still be a Sony sensor, but it's the differentiating factor is how each company creates their image, like with their color signs and with their logs and their log gamuts, like how they interpret that light that's hitting the sensor through the lens.
Okay. Those are all things that you must be aware of whenever you're using the equipment or you're purchasing the equipment, correct?
I mean, not necessarily, but it is something that you start to look at when you go through a fine-tooth comb and start to see that most of the images that you see on YouTube and on the silver screen, they all start to look very familiar, and they start to look similar too.
Okay. So I'm going to go back real quick. You said your first gig once you graduated college was video editing. So then how did you make the transition to cinematographer? Was it just being around and being on set for most whenever you had a chance?
It was whenever I had the chance, but there was a moment where I was on set as a camera operator / like first AC. And our cinematographer just didn't show up. And there is a point in time that the director came to me because I was his next go-to guy for that set and went, hey, don't mess this up. I'm giving you the cinematographer spot. I will back you up every step of the way. And if you need help, let me know. But I'm giving you the reins to do what you want to do. And I went, I like this. This is fun. Being able to be the one that can guide the director to the shots that need to be shot and the shots that I want to get shot. And then to not only that, but to then manage the crew too, because that's a really cool thing where people not only rely on you, but they depend on you for leadership and guidance as well as some mentorship too. Like, I love that feeling.
What's been the most challenging shoot that you've ever had?
Oh, the most challenging shoot. That's actually a really good question, because most of them that I've worked on have been fairly smooth and everybody has gotten along. Actually, I just thought of it. It was one of a horror shorts that I was working on years ago. And I came into that gig thinking that I was basically God's gift to the world, like with that level of smugness, because I was pumped up to be like that on that production. And I got ego checked really hard by the first AD. Like, she pulled me aside on one of our days just that we had to do maybe 20 scenes in one location, and just went, look, you are being quite the asshat right now. We don't need that. And if you can't see through that, we can't work together. And I had to look introspectively, as this has been my first ever problem being on sets. Like, I've never had somebody check me before. Looking back at those couple of days at that point in time, I went, yeah, I was being a complete tool. So where do we go from here? When I told her, okay, thank you for letting me know. And
so it all worked out.
Yeah, it all worked out. And okay, good. The production went swimmingly after that. And I continue to work with her to this day. We're still very, very good friends.
Good. Excellent, man. Well, let's talk about a couple of your projects. The one that I really kind of liked, and I believe it's a short that was in your social media, was a project called Who Am I? So could you talk to us a little bit about that short?
I believe that was my demo reel.
yeah. That's but it was really slickly produced. I liked how it looked and how kind of it had such a frenzied chaos to it.
Because that's about how most of my productions have led me to. Because I was a horror bread and butter filmmaker for a while, and then I moved over to more narrative stuff. Mm-hmm. Like with After and with Sundays with Dad. Those are two very different parts of the spectrum, right?
And well, let's talk about Sundays with Dad, because that was, you were the cinematographer on that shoot. Mm-hmm. So what was the experience like working on that project?
In one word, perfect.
Okay.
I mean, you've had Timothy Cox on this podcast, right?
Yes, as well as Tom Angeletti as well been on, who has ties to Sundays with Dad.
Yeah, Tim was the lead actor, and Tom was my director, and they both can attest that it was a very well-run set, and not only a very well-run set, we got done with, I think it was either 15 or 17 pages of a script, in less than 4 or 5 hours. And it did not feel like we were rushed at all. Like, it just went that smoothly. It, exactly like I said at the beginning, it was to me one of the perfect sets that you dream of when you're in the film industry.
And kudos to everybody involved in that project, because it's getting a lot of accolades and winning some awards as well. So Sundays with Dad is definitely something that, if you are listening to this podcast, you should go check that out. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Jake for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Basically, they got what you need for your fandom. So, if you're in Central Ohio, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're very active on their Facebook page, so just search for @WGComics. Let's talk about another project, The Demons Within. So, you said you love horror, and this is clearly a horror flick. Can you give a little bit of a summary of the project without, like, giving away the ending or anything like that?
Okay. So, Izzy, the main lead character of the movie, is a troubled teenager. And she is the daughter of two super doctors, or she's the daughter of two super doctors. That's a tongue twister. And she becomes obsessed with her phone. And then across the movie, you start to think, well, is she actually obsessed with her phone, or is it a demon that has possessed her? And then a local priest gets involved, and I will just leave it at that. The Demons Within is one of my personal favorite movies that I have ever shot.
And it got some play on Tubi and Amazon as well. So I guess my question is, that's got to make you feel like really good that, hey, this project that I worked on has been accepted by these outlets. Am I off base by saying that?
It definitely makes me feel validated in what I do on sets and my shooting style.
You've also done a little bit of acting.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well,
I do acting whenever it is necessary, when somebody has a role and I just happen to be there, and I go, well, I can just set up the camera on my sticks and go in front of the lens. Can't tell you if it's going to be good, but I can tell you that I can do it and I won't be afraid.
So it's maybe not your cup of tea, but you'll do it if necessary.
I mean, it's always going to be fun to get in front of camera. I mean, it'll happen every so often, and I think I do a good job.
Well, hey, I mean, I think that's part of the allure of being on the indie movie set is people got to do multiple jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And try to do them the best that they can.
And I mean, I would like to get more in front of camera. The double-edged sword is that I'm known as a cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever and this has happened before, whenever I audition for a role or reach out to the director or the producers of that movie and say, hey, I would love to put my name in the hat for this particular character because it matches my personality almost to a T. And they would go, yes, it matches you really well. However, we would rather need you for crew. And I'm going, okay, fine. If you need me on crew, it really is a downer that you're known as crew, but it's also really cool that they would rather have you as crew. And then if the moment arises, then the moment arises.
Gotcha. So obviously you are a fan of movies. So when is your, yeah. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, you know, if not, what the hell are we doing? If that's not the case, anyways,
podcast over. Good night, everybody.
Good night. See ya. When did your fandom of movies start?
When I first started seeing my first Disney movies on VHS growing up. I'm talking like Lion King, Aladdin, Little Mermaid, the classic Disney movies, mm-hmm. which is really hard to think that they're classics now. Yeah. But, you know, go with the times, I guess.
Hey, it's like when you listen to the classic radio station, the classic rock radio station, and it's Soundgarden they're playing. You're like,
Yeah, that happened to me coming home from work, and I heard Sad But True on the classic rock station in Cincinnati, and I'm going, where did the time go? What is happening right now? This isn't the Twilight Zone, I don't think, at least.
So besides the Disney movies, did you have any others that you remember as a kid enjoying and watching?
There have been quite a few that I'm having a hard time remembering. One of my favorites growing up was The Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I really wish they did something more with that universe, because it makes so much sense for there to be an expansion, because it was left open-ended with, you know, spoilers, the Iron Giant is rebuilding itself in either the South or the North Pole because there's a bunch of snow around it. But, you know, you've had a quite a good amount of time to watch the movie, so there's spoilers right here.
Yeah, that's fine. You should have watched that film, because it's probably easily 25 years old.
Yeah.
I want to say it came out late 90s, early 2000s.
Don't remind me.
Well, let me put you on the spot here. So you obviously have movies, and you've talked about a few of them that are your favorites that you like to enjoy. But I'm sure that there's probably two or three movies that you love and appreciate because of the cinematography involved. Am I correct on that statement?
Yes.
Quite simply. What are some of those films?
Oh, man. My top actually is, and this may be a sleeper for cinematography, but it's Django Unchained.
Really? Why? Yes. Why do you say that?
My shooting style is very close to what is in Django Unchained, where Quentin Tarantino, with how he wanted it shot, wanted to be much more down to earth and realistic. You don't see a lot of helicopter shots. You don't see a lot of outstanding jibs in the shot either. You don't see a lot of aerials. They're very much on the ground, on sticks, or on a Steadicam. Okay. or at least it looks like it. My shooting style very much is, I would rather have the audience be fully engaged with the scene to make them feel like they're involved with the story.
Okay.
And part of that is you shoot in such a way that it makes the camera look like another actor in the scene.
How do you go about doing that, if I may ask?
That is my own secret, and I really do not wish to disclose it.
Okay. No problem. I understand. You mentioned Tarantino. Is he one of your inspirations? And if so, do you have more than just one inspiration when you go to a set?
It's very weird, because I typically don't.
Okay.
You can call me one of the oddballs in the industry, where I don't know who inspired me to do what for camera work and shooting style. I just, when I was talking about my first gig as a DP, it was because out of necessity. Mm-hmm. And then I just started learning from there what to do and how to do it and when in certain situations to do which things. And then I started gaining experience. And after that, after certain points, it was just like, okay, well, here's ABC. Now, how do I get to XYZ? And it was just a very easy curve for me to get used to my own shooting style. And then as my name started to get out there, it was like, oh, I really like how he shoots things. And I get talked to like, well, you shoot like this guy, or you shoot like this guy, or you shoot like this guy. And I go, I really would have no idea, because I really don't mind it at all, because I have my own style and I like to keep it that way.
What advice would you give a up and coming cinematographer? You mentioned that you enjoy being a mentor on the set. So what might be some pieces of advice you might give somebody that's starting off as a cinematographer?
My advice is something that I still do to this day, and it's to always keep asking questions. The reason why we ask questions is because we want to learn things. And the reason we want to learn things is because we want to get better. I love asking questions, because for me, there's no such thing as a dumb question. It may sound dumb, but it could even be something that is pivotal to making something better. Because I have no problem with asking the questions that are believed to be inferred. I have no problem with that because I would rather have the answer said aloud rather than assumed in everybody's head. The best question is to ask somebody is, why not do it?
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Never thought of it that way.
Right?
Yeah.
There's one shot in Demons Within that was started off of we were sitting around the table at like midnight working on shot list for the next day. And the director and I both looked at each other and went, what if we did this particular shot, but we added movement to it while also keeping the main actor in focus? And it was a very technical thing, right? And our first AD went, no, it is physically impossible for you to do that. Like, you cannot. Because it's always been this way. And I looked at him and I went, quote, unquote, watch me, motherfucker. And then we took the crew. We went on to set, just the crew. And we test shot it for about 2-ish something hours. And the last take, we got it. Now, it was a short zoom that we got this shot in. The other shot was much longer, but the concept was accomplished.
And that had to make you feel good that you knew you could do it, you did it, and there's got to be that sense of like justification.
The sense of pride.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
The director and I got from accomplishing that shot was, we are going to sleep so well tonight. Oh, look, we have 3 hours until crew call. Okay, cool. Good night.
Living up here in Columbus, I know what the indie scene is like up here. So what's the indie scene like down in Cincinnati? If you could maybe describe it in a couple of adjectives, what's the indie film scene like down there?
I'd say it's probably similar to how it is in Columbus, very close-knit. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks to each other. Everybody wants to help each other. Everybody wants everybody else to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine that's the same thing in the Columbus indie scene, correct?
Yeah, from what I've, you know, from me talking to several of the people that have, you know, been involved in the scene and talking to some other folks. Yeah, it's very collaborative. I think that everybody wants to excel. I think everybody wants to have fun doing it too, because,
oh, yeah,
you know, let's not overlook that, you know, millions of dollars is not coming, you know, your way, so to speak, in the indie scene, but having that fun, I think definitely, you know, is an aspect that can't be ignored.
Because there's always going to be that one person to go, well, why are you still there if it's not making money?
Right.
It's typically not about the money. It's about being there and creating. Right. To everybody that's in the indie scene, it's always about creating and pushing the limits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can get producers involved and push the limits even more and then get paid and then get a return on investment. Perfect. But for everybody else that just wants to have a weekend of shooting a short, why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's all amongst friends, and it's all amongst people that are like-minded like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We just go out and create, and it's fun, and it's amazing to see what we were doing on those couple of days in the final edit.
Do you have, because I know we just you know, was comparing the big leagues to the indie scene and whatnot, but do you have like a dream project that you, if money was no object, if booking talent was no object, if there was no obstacles to any of that, do you have a dream project that you would love to tackle?
I've never been asked this question before, so I really don't have a solid answer.
Okay.
Uh, I mean, money no object. It's going to be all the best gear, all the best talents. But gear and talent can only go far as because it's got to be the story.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put a price on a good story.
Okay. Okay. That's a solid answer. Sorry that I caught you off guard with that one.
Hey, that made me think. And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk real quick about something that I'm going to be honest with you, Jake. I saw it on your social media, but I didn't really dive too deep into it. But let's talk about Real Cinema Products.
My company.
Yeah, your company. So look, can we get the story behind why you decided to start your own company?
Well, for starters, that's a rebranding of my original company called Production Everyman.
Okay.
And the reason why I did the rebranding to Real Cinema Products is because I started to get construction calls for contractors.
Whoops.
The irony is coming full circle. And so I changed my company name to Real Cinnamon Products. One, because that's a meme within the film community. And the other one, it's a really good play on words.
I definitely agree with you on that. But through your company, you've gotten some really cool projects because I saw where you worked with Hothead Burritos and a couple other companies as well. So can you talk about the experience of working for, and I hate to use this term, but I'm going to use it with air quotes, the corporate side of things in video production or movie making or whatnot?
Well, Hothead Burritos is my full-time job. It's a really nice change of pace from what I do in the independent world to go over and do corporate shoots, because it really doesn't feel different, but it is. Because
mm-hmm.
at Hothead, I am their content creator. I am the one that has been creating all of their commercial content that you see out on local airwaves since February of last year. In fact, my 1 year was 4 days ago. It's very nice to see that my content gets seen at a much broader audience, and I love that because my shooting style is a nice catalyst for the brand. Because I don't know if you've seen their other contents, but what I've done is embraced the brand and then gave them a paradigm shift in how they tell their stories in their commercials. Because in marketing is storytelling, and storytelling is marketing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Because the way to connect with an audience is you got to create a story. And then if you want to market a product, you got to incorporate the story into that product.
Well, one thing I did not know, I did not know that Hothead Burritos, are they based in Cincinnati, obviously?
They were founded in Dayton in 2007. Really? Yes.
Okay, I did not know that. Huh.
And I prefer them over Chipotle and Qdoba.
Okay, company man. All right.
Not even being a company man, I like their product a lot more than the bigger chains out there.
Okay. Well, as we're getting close to time here, let's talk about some new projects. I assume that you have some things coming down the pike, so to speak, that you'd like to talk about real quick.
There's a couple that I have signed an NDA already, so I can't really talk about them. I can't talk about one of them. It is a Stephanie Hensley movie. She's a really good friend of mine. She's actually the one that ego checked me all those years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It is based off of the War of the Worlds, the radio drama.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of it being like, you know, the Tom Cruise movies, it's actually based in that time. And just imagine if you were sitting around your living room just having your ears glued to the radio, listening to the drama, and you think it's actually happening. But then all of a sudden, poof, your power goes out. What happens after that?
That's a cool that's a cool premise for a movie.
That's as far as I'm going to go into it.
Okay. Yeah. That does that sounds really cool though. That sounds like an awesome plot. Anything else that you could talk about, or is that just the only one because the other ones are all wrapped up with NDAs?
NDAs as well, but then there's also a couple of other projects for like just shorts with my friends that we're just waiting to have better weather.
Okay.
there's a couple of horror shorts that I'm going to be working on as both a voice actor and the director of photography. Then there's another movie that I'm actually going to act in, but we got to get, like I was talking about, better weather. Because who really wants to run out in the middle of the cold rain when it's 20 degrees outside?
Yeah, I agree.
And it gets dark at 6:30.
Yeah. Well, hopefully here in another month or so, we'll be hopefully with some better weather. Fingers crossed,
absolutely.
So where can folks find you on the internet? If they want to check out what you're doing, they want to check out, obviously The Demons Within or any of your other projects, where can folks find you?
Well, if they want to find them, The Demons Within, you can always Google The Demons Within and just put Tubi right next to it, or you can find it on Amazon Prime. Just type in The Demons Within and it'll be right there for Prime Video. And then you can find me on social media, on Facebook. You can just look me up for Jake Reynolds. I'm the guy with the big hair with my own Steadicam rig on, tilted with my head tilted back, laughing my butt off. And then there I am on Instagram. I am Jake2. That is I am Jake2 as in T-O-O, not the number 2. That's actually a callback to Spy Kids.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Nice.
In Spy Kids 2, when they were doing the when Romero was showcasing his miniature zoo to the kids, the second zoo is called Romero's Zoo 2, as in T-O-O.
Okay.
I remember that when I was a kid. I went, that is brilliant. Yeah. That's going to be my Instagram handle.
You predicted Instagram would be a thing in the future. I like that.
Yeah, you know, being a kid, I'm going, that's gonna be moon.
All right, well, Jake, man, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Jake Reynolds, talking about the indie film scene here in Ohio, as well as his career as a cinematographer. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and you can let me know if you did or if you didn't even. So let me run down where you could get in touch with me if you choose to do so. First off, I am still on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for @PVDcast. And if you want to email me, you can do that as well. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com. Or maybe you want to let some folks know about this podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues where you can access it. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single episode of this podcast. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets as well. You know, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. Now, while we're talking about those outlets or apps, you got to do me a favor. You got to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means that you never miss a single episode of the PVDcast.
But there's also one final way to hear each week's episode, and that is through the Facebook page at PVDcast, where every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast of the week's episode. So there you have it, three ways to hear the PVDcast: PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.